the best coaches in the game. We really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't no lie when we hit the block, helmets casket is top. You be seeing helmet after helmet, helmet after helmet. First place, second place, fifth place, eighth place, 12th place, 15, 16, 20. So many helmets, you got blurred vision, we got...
All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Bold Call Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by DFS Army and sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. I am your host, Kevin Allen, a.k.a. The Geek, and I've got the Encyclopedia Footballica himself here with me. We're going to take a look at wide receiver position relative to early best ball leagues today. The Encyclopedia Footballica, as Season Long says himself. What's up, my man?
What is this Encyclopedia Footballica? I mean, that's a pretty good nickname. I like that. I know you've used it before, but that's, I guess that people don't even know what an encyclopedia is anymore. I don't think anyone under, under 35 would even understand what an encyclopedia is.
Do people under 35 watch this? there's nothing I could say to that. You know, the Encyclopedia Britannica? That was big encyclopedia brand that you'd have.
I had
in your house.
The books. Yeah, I had two rows of these brown books everywhere, and they were by letter. You'd have all the R things in one book and the L in another.
Yeah, no, it comes down to a wealth of knowledge on fantasy football related topics, all in one set of books. It's a little heavy. Got a lot of books on the wall, a lot of books on the shelf. It might be unseemly. It takes a little space in your house. Sometimes you got to set up a room for it. Comes over, it won't leave. And that's like you when you come and visit. You're like, hey, I want you to come by for a day or two. Why are you still here? It's been 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying?
I never overstay my welcome anywhere. In fact, I'm very good about knowing when I leave on the earlier side of things rather than overstay my welcome. I understand that.
I keep my encyclopedias around in case we ever lose power, Texas style. Something to burn in the fireplace, keep warm.
No, I was telling my Texas friends, that's funny. I was telling my Texas friends that I remember when I was without power for 3 days post Hurricane Sandy in New York City. So I can relate.
Yeah, no, I been there here. I lose power all the time. So I got a generator. By the way, you should have seen me outside. Fucking, I lost power about a month ago. I was outside turning that Jenny on. I'm putting gasoline in there, pulling the cord and shit. I was like, like an actual adult man who knows how to work on machines. Like that was what I was doing for a minute. And I told my wife, I was like, take a picture. You might never see this again because I got hands like a baby's ass, like a person who's never done a day of work in his life. You know what I'm talking about? So anyway,
I can relate. I totally
like somebody who's never done a hard day's work in their life.
Very soft hands, very soft hands.
All right, let's get into the topic. But before we do, we are working off of the Underdog Fantasy ADPs, and we might as well talk about Underdog Fantasy. One of the newest, really not the newest, they are the premier, I'm going to say the premier season best ball site, the premier snake draft site in the industry. They don't just do like early best balls for football. They're doing snake draft for every single night, NBA. Like they're going strong right now. So check out Underdog Fantasy. You can use promo code DFS Army. Get signed up over there. They have $100. You'll love us, or we'll give you your money back guarantee when you use code DFS Army. We want to make sure our watchers, our readers, our listeners aren't signing up for a site that they don't like. It's a really great format. I play there. I've been hammering out these early best ball leagues myself. I love this big tournament that they have set up to close prior to the NFL draft. And I'm going to bring this around to something really interesting. Season Long says Encyclopedia Footballica. Okay. Do you know who was the final pick on most of your tournament finalists / winners last season?
So you're asking me
I'm going to tell you a player who wound up on most of those teams that you got with your last or your second to last pick, depending on how much, get him with your last pick.
I mean, the obvious answer, I guess, is James Robinson, if he was even draftable. But I guess early he wasn't draftable. So no, that wouldn't be it.
He didn't show up in early drafts at all. Although James Robinson, spectacular pick if you got him.
Yeah.
I mean, who would he? I'm going to tell you who it was. Or did I ruin it? Yeah, I'm going to tell you who it was. Because you're never going to guess this.
Go ahead.
It was T. Higgins.
Oh, yeah.
And
he was good all year.
It just got me thinking, you know, he was there, right? He was there at the end. And you didn't draft him because, you know what, with these rookies. So I'll tell you what I was doing at the end of picks. I was taking, you know, names from last season that stunk that I thought might have a chance of doing a little bit better this year. So think like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Andy Isabella.
Those names, right? Kasean Johnson, you know, these like guys who are still on a team and you're like, hey, maybe they'll turn it around. But you didn't know about T. Higgins, right? But you kind of did. So
well, you did. Well, the guy was picked and, you know, you knew he was a player that was projected to maybe go in the first round. He ended up being the first pick of the second round. So it's more or less the same thing. But yeah, so who are those wide receivers that could end up in good spots? Now, T. Higgins, not only was he good and have some spike weeks, I mean, he was consistent no matter who the quarterback was. I mean, he's going right now in the fourth round of dynasty startup drafts, and I think that's too late for him to go. So yeah, I mean, we have to start rethinking who we're taking at the very end of these drafts.
Well, one of the things we talked about last year, and that's the reason I brought this up, was and we always talk about this, you don't really win this tournament. And this is the problem. We're also focused on your first seven or eight rounds. You don't win these tournaments in the first seven or eight rounds, and you don't lose them. You can lose them, but you don't win them. You win this when you are able to find gems very, very late in the draft. And that's in that 17th round, the 18th, the 19th. You're on. Everybody's just taking garbage at that point. And if you can identify players that actually produce quality outcomes for your team, that's how you win a tournament. That's how you take down a $10,000 prize on a $5 best ball entry. So it is possible to do. Yeah. But if you're doing the generic sort of crap at the end of the draft, just filling it out with, you know, some crappy old tight end that's not going to get any work, you know, or something like that, or some RB4 type of guy that's really, even if a million things happen, he's still not going to be there doing anything for you. You've got to get quality towards the end of these drafts, and you got to put in players who are producing for your team if you're going to win a big tournament. So I just thought it was really fascinating that it was T. Higgins. And then I said, you know, I looked at one of these breakdowns and I was like, you know what? I mean, hindsight, it's so beautiful. When you look at it, you're like, fuck, if I had all the hindsight in the world, you know,
yeah,
you started with, either Dalvin Cook or Derrick Henry in round one. You went to Aaron Jones in round two. You know, there was a progression of like, oh yeah, okay, he did really well. And I don't have the list in front of me, but I could probably find it. But it was just really, actually, I can get it here. So,
well, who in the meantime, like the focus of today is that we're going to talk a little bit about the wide receivers and, you know, just see where that conversation goes in relations to best ball. And, you know, what I had planned for you is I was going to just kind of go through the news of the day, news of the week. And then from there, we can have a discussion on what wide receivers and how they're connected to certain teams and all the movement that's coming up heading into free agency, which I think it's going to be an awesome free agency. A lot of players likely to take one-year deals because of the lower salary cap. So you're going to see a lot of hired mercenaries, one-year deal type of stuff. So I'm excited for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's actually get into that here real quick.
So I'll get you into the news, yeah, and then
what's going on in free agency here, because that does affect a ton of what we're going to be doing going forward in our drafts.
Yeah, first headline I have is that the consensus among Bucks beat reporters is that Chris Godwin will return to Tampa Bay either on a long-term contract or at very minimum the franchise tag.
I think everybody knew that. That's not really news, is it? You know, we kind of expected him to go back there and they'll have that whole team back together again. Not great fantasy value for any of that.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is that good for Chris Godwin?
No, it's definitely not. I mean, it keeps him. You saw, first of all, Brady has slightly better connection with Mike Evans than he did with Chris Godwin this past year. Chris Godwin, I'm going to tell you something observationally. We love Chris Godwin. He was a rising star. He dropped a lot of passes this year. He regressed this season, and it's concerning. He looked worse this year than he did the year before. I don't think there's any doubt. Like, if you watched him play, he was dropping passes. This was a guy whose hands were glue, and he's dropping passes this year. I thought it was concerning. You add in Antonio Brown, now a full offseason, coming back with the team.
He's not signed yet either.
But he's going back there. I mean, he's going back. Assuming Antonio Brown goes back there, you know, it's just not enough volume. I don't love it. I definitely am not happy if I'm a Chris Godwin owner.
And here's the question. So in best ball, last year, I mean, let's think about this. Last year, he finishes the wide receiver 2 in 2019. I mean, the wide receiver 2 overall. So he was getting drafted easily in the second round. Where do you recommend people playing on an underdog in a half PPR format draft Chris Godwin? Where are you? Are you even interested in him in round 3 if he falls there, like the early third?
I'm looking at his ADP. He's going right after. He's currently ADP of 43.4. So round,
he's going in the fourth round.
43 is, yeah, it's
36 would be the third round.
So he's going in the fourth round, and he's going after a couple picks after Mike Evans, which is interesting.
Yeah, I remember last year their ADP swapped, and now it's back the other way again, right?
Yeah. Evans is now ahead of him. CeeDee Lamb is going just ahead of him, as is Terry McLaurin. So, I mean, where he's going, it's a pretty fair value, I'm going to say. I mean, there are players going after him that I think are much better values, potentially. Deontay Johnson, for example, I would take him over Chris Godwin all day.
Oh, really? And Deontay Johnson's probably going 2 rounds later.
Yeah. I mean, he's 52, so he's about, you know, he's...
Yeah, a round and a half later.
He's about a round and a half later. There are just names that are going a little bit later that I like just as much or more.
All right.
Will Fuller is going multiple rounds later, and you've got...
Okay, so let's just summarize here. Chris Godwin, he's going to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer next year, whether it's on the one-year franchise tag or if they sign him to a long-term deal. We think that he was a little bit overpriced last year. He's probably falling back into line. And if you get him in the fourth round of your underdog best ball draft, no problem. All right, next headline I have for you. Now, and this actually is a good segue off your Deontay Johnson. Steelers GM Kevin Colbert said that he has to take a look at the current cap situation when asked about Ben Roethlisberger being back as the starting quarterback. So I don't know if you saw the headlines, but he did not commit to bringing back Big Ben. Now, Big Ben came out and said that he is open to a restructure since Big Ben is one of the highest paid QBs in the league. One, is it time to move on? Obviously, they signed Dwayne Haskins as a backup, but I don't know what else they would do. Let's start with this question, the fundamental question. What do you think the odds are that Ben Roethlisberger is the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2021?
Well, number one, if I'm Ben Roethlisberger, that is very concerning to have your GM come out and say those words and not commit to you. If you're Ben Roethlisberger, I'd be very concerned. That said, I do think he will be back. Dwayne Haskins is not anything to worry about.
No, he's a backup.
Yeah. So I do think Ben is going to be back, but I have concerns, and I have real concerns about the entire Steelers offense again, which is so reliant on a very, very old and for quite a few seasons in a row, very injury prone.
We have breaking news while we're on here. We got to pivot away from Ben Roethlisberger. Carson Wentz traded to Colts.
There it is. All right. So there we go.
Okay. So if you're hearing this after you already learned the news, we're learning this right now. So we'll come back to Ben.
Yeah.
All right.
Carson Wentz to the Colts. What is
picks?
It,
it was multiple picks. Here, I'll get it right here. I'll say in exchange for a 2021 third, a 2022 second, and if he hits certain thresholds, it could be a first added, but it's basically a second and a third.
Number one, I think the Colts overpaid.
a second and a third is too much?
Yeah, for Wentz. All right,
That second can turn into a first if he hits certain achievements.
Let me tell you something, okay? Frank Reich is a miracle worker. He's one of the best minds in the game.
He was the coach, the offensive coordinator when they went to the Super Bowl, right?
The only guy that got anything good out of Wentz. But Wentz has been absolute dog shit ever since. And I'm not talking about Wentz. He's just not that good. He's been mediocre. He has been the worst quarterback in the NFL borderline that has maintained a starting job.
But that said, dude, this is a good situation for Wentz.
It's the best possible situation for Wentz. The best.
Right. And we'll get to it in a second, but Jalen Hurts, right?
Jalen Hurts.
First round dynasty startup pick now?
Yes. So you know what we talked about towards the end of last year? I was like, oh my God, Jalen Hurts.
You did say, and I mocked you a little bit. Not that I didn't like Jalen Hurts. You know I did. But I said taking him in a dynasty startup in round one, not knowing. But you told me, why not gamble? Who cares? You know?
Yeah, and it kind of sucks because I would have rather been able to get him later. You know what I mean? Like,
well, he now, was going in. I've done two startups already, and he went in the fifth and sixth round. So that's over.
Oh, man. Well, how good? How good? So you understand.
All right, go back to Wentz. I'm too excited. Wentz, I know we're skipping all over the place, but this is exciting news, man.
Yeah, this
news
is,
broke this while we were doing the podcast. That never happens.
It's the best. If you're a Wentz owner, it's the best possible news. If he's going to salvage his career, this is where it's going to happen with the Colts. When you look at the Colts, Michael Pittman, I don't think T.Y. Hilton will be back.
Oh, no, hold on a second. Look, I did some research on this yesterday. So, okay, we're in agreement with you. I actually have Pittman. I moved him from wide receiver 30 all the way up to wide receiver 22 in my dynasty rankings. And I know that's aggressive, but the Colts have turned the page. He's a size. He has good route running. He's going to be the main focal point of the offense. And he did get 10 targets in the playoffs in that playoff loss to Buffalo. So the team is focused on Michael Pittman. And the other thing with Pittman, because this is a wide receiver podcast, remember, the Colts had 2 second round picks last year. They prioritized Pittman over Jonathan Taylor. They took Pittman with the second pick of the second round, and they waited to take Taylor later in the second round. This is a priority for them. Paris Campbell's coming back healthy. T.Y. Hilton is a unrestricted free agent, but the team wants to re-sign him on a one-year deal, and I think there's mutual interest there. So I think it's safer to assume T.Y. will be back.
Even so, but I agree with
Good
you.
For Wentz.
I saw enough out of Pittman to say this is a WR1 style player. He's right, got size. He's got,
and for fantasy, easily a wide receiver too.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think you're not paying wide receiver two numbers. He's available.
No. Seventh round in underdog.
I mean, I'm seeing an ADP of 114.3. Yep. So I can't do the math, but if that's round 7 or 8 or 9, even
7 times 12 is 72. So it's probably round 10.
I mean, he's available very late in your draft, right by Corey Davis. Those two are going back to back.
But Pittman's, this is going to boost him to the fifth round, right?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's going to change it. I think you're going to get a bargain on Pittman. I don't think the natural reaction is going to be to it. No, I don't think so. I'm telling you. Who cares if it's Wentz? Who the fuck is Wentz? Wentz sucks.
But the market perception is going to be that this is an upgrade. It doesn't matter.
It is an upgrade. But you know who it's a better upgrade for? Jalen Reagor. You know, it's an upgrade for Goddard. You know, it's an upgrade for Miles Sanders. It's an upgrade for the Eagles.
Okay, so let's just answer these couple questions and we'll pivot over to the Eagles. Where are you taking Michael Pittman? How aggressive do you want to be on him in a best ball?
I don't think you need to be aggressive. I'm taking him right here and maybe round
at
9.
ADP. Okay, at ADP. Okay.
Yeah,
so I'm then taking him about where, do we need to going? Do we need to start thinking about Paris Campbell coming back healthy?
Yeah, that's the guy that you can get in round 17 or 16 or 18. Listen, right. Paris Campbell's an injury guy. He's probably going to get hurt again. That's what he does. He's very good at it. But if he can stay healthy,
he's good at getting hurt.
Yes, he's good at getting hurt. He gets hurt all the time.
You and I talk about this all the time. After round 10, just throw ADP out. And it doesn't matter when, because it doesn't matter if you get your sleeper around 11 or if you get him around 15. Now, if you could wait, obviously you want to wait, but you don't. I think Paris Campbell is somebody that I'm going to be very interested in as the season moves on and we're getting positive reports. And now with Wentz there, I think that's someone that we need to think about. If you've attacked running back in these underdog best balls and you just need to add volume of wide receivers, Paris Campbell, somebody I'm going to be thinking about in round 11, 12, 13, 14.
I don't even think you need him that early. I'm telling you, I'm going to be thinking about him, but in the last three rounds. So it'll be round 17, 18, 19.
You're not going to get him there.
I think he's still there. I really do. I'm seeing his current ADP. Excuse again. Me. You overestimate the field. He's going right now at 176. Well, that's
also keeping
16.
Keep in mind this. Okay. Early best ball. People that get into early best ball, play best ball right now, and even up until after the NFL draft, they're sharper best ball players. They're year-round players. They're staying tuned to this. Actually, the field gets softer as we get closer to the season.
Yeah, but the ADP sharpens up and the field is just following ADP. It doesn't help us that the players get weaker when the ADP is sharper. Right now, ADP is at its softest point. And so I don't care who's playing.
It's so volatile.
It's very volatile. But your ADPs, most people who are playing are just following the ADPs on whatever site they're playing on, and they don't want to go too far. You're nervous. You're scared to go too far from it. It's like, hey, I'm out on a limb here. I don't think I want to be out on a limb. It doesn't feel comfortable to be out on a limb. Limb is a little thin. Could break. Fall. It's a long fall when it breaks. So I don't want to be that far out on the limb. I want to hang around. So when you see an ADP is 200, I don't want to take him at 150. I'll take him at 190 because fuck, I really want this player. So you don't have to go too far. My point is you don't have to reach. What is a great play because they're a value becomes a bad play because when you reach for them, don't ruin it. Take him late.
But remember, in these best ball contests where you're only getting paid out for the top one or two positions, I think an upside player. I mean, look, Paris Campbell was our rookie wide receiver one or two when he came out. Obviously, injuries have derailed him. He's a legitimate four three guy.
It's irrelevant. You know who else is that? That dude from the Bengals, Ross. Oh,
John Ross. This is a different kind of player, though. This is a different kind of player.
You know what? Paris Campbell, make it past three games, and then we'll have a talk. So he's an injury guy. I think it's a speculative play. But overall, this is a big. There's a lot of ripples that come from this Colts move. Number one, it's the best move for Wentz. I think it's probably the best move for the Colts of this quarterback. They could, Frank Reich believes he can turn.
And you really think they overpaid with a second and a third?
I think the Eagles should have paid a second rounder to get rid of him. Like, that's how down I am on Carson Wentz.
Well,
they didn't have to.
But think about this. Like, who are the Colts, Philip Rivers retired. Who are they going to have as a quarterback if they didn't get someone like Wentz?
Have Jameis Winston. Do you want me to rattle off the names of guys who are floating around?
Darnold would have cost a lot more than that. I know that we like Winston for fantasy, but coaches don't like those turnovers, man. That's something that, like, if you're
Frank Reich could coach that out of him. That's the point. If you have a Frank Reich offensive genius there, he could probably fix a talented guy like Winston in terms of the turnovers. He could have turned that around. I mean, I don't consider Cam Newton a viable National Football League quarterback, but I mean, there are a few guys floating around who could have been fine, but we have this carousel of switching QBs this season, and the first one drops, and now we're looking around, and we're like, okay, what are you up to in Miami? What are you up to Chicago? What are you up to Denver? We've got this whole sort of thing going on here where a lot of teams are going to have new QBs, and this is just one that's down, and so many to go. If I'm a Chicago Bears fan, I'm breathing a sigh of relief right now.
All right. Well, you know what? You actually gave me a good segue into our next headline. And just quickly, by the way, so you're higher on Jalen Reagor now in Philadelphia. I think they're going to draft another wide receiver. We'll see. Obviously, you're totally crossing my guy, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, off your list. I understand that. All right, here's another NFL headline.
He's not anybody's guy anymore. He could have been your guy when he was drafted. Just because you like the guy coming out does not mean we have to still like him. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside has proven that he sucks.
Right. All right, next piece of news. NFL Network's James Palmer reports that the Broncos are not interested in Carson Wentz. Obviously, that is true.
Irrelevant.
But other quarterbacks in that top group. So basically what they're saying here, according to the article, is that they are not going to give up any assets to acquire anything other than like a Deshaun Watson. They're going to roll with Drew Lock. They are comfortable, it says here in the article, bringing in someone like Marcus Mariota or Andy Dalton to compete, or Nick Foles to compete with Drew Lock. It goes on to say that they liked what they saw out of Drew Lock enough to give him one more shot.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. I mean, Drew Lock did have a couple of decent games towards the end of the season. I think, it's a shame to waste a talented team in Buffalo on a guy.
Denver
that's not going to be a good quarterback, and I don't think Locke will be a good quarterback. But it's also cute that they said Mariota, like, compete. If you have Mariota on your team, he's starting over Drew Locke. Like, Mariota should probably be the starter on a team this year. Even off of that one game sample size, like, that was the Mariota. That one game was the Mariota that was drafted. I don't know what the deal is or how he all of a sudden was good. I really don't. And I don't know that that's a lock that he can keep that up for a full season. But to me, he showed enough that if I'm the Patriots, and that's the team I think Mariota should go to. If I'm the Patriots, I say, you know what? I saw enough out of this kid. I think I want to bring him in here and maybe give him a shot to be the guy. Doesn't mean I might not also draft a quarterback If I'm the Patriots, I'm bringing Mariota in. If I'm the Panthers, I'm maybe thinking about a Mariota.
Well, remember the Panthers. So the Panthers, they're not going to do that. And I'll tell you why, because in my judgment is they have Teddy Bridgewater is definitely going to be on the roster for 21. Okay. The team has an out in 22 and they have the 8th overall pick. They are taking one of those 4 quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying? They're going to have Teddy Bridgewater for this year, as long as he lasts this year, and whatever rookie they take at number 8 overall.
Yeah, if they do that, then that's what they do. But, teams that I think there are a few teams that Chicago that should look at Mariota and should look to trade for him. It shouldn't cost that much.
Well, I'm not sure. I have to look at Mariota's contract. I think he is a free agent. I have to look.
It's been trade talk, so he's not
okay.
A free agent.
So then, right. So he's under a contract for one more year with the Raiders. Yeah. It's a very manageable number. I think it's somewhere in like the $8 to $10 million, which is expensive for a backup. But obviously, if you trade for him, and he ends up being the starter, you're going to have to make some compensations there. All right. So let's move along. I'll give you a couple more news and notes. This is move along. By the way, you saw the news of Vincent Jackson, how he passed away at age 38. He was always one of my favorite wide receivers in fantasy. And now they're saying that he suffered from CTE. So that's going to be interesting to monitor that. I know we're talking wide receivers. So
was it a suicide?
Let's see. Found deceased Monday.
I haven't seen anything about what
it said. It says in this blurb that he suffered from chronic alcoholism, according to the Hillsborough County Sheriff. The sheriff added that Jackson family member believed that he struggled for years with symptoms of CTE. Okay, we'll see. You know, I mean, it's sad, and we see it all too often with these guys.
Yeah.
All right. Other things. All right. Here we go. Tight end news. So pass catchers. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Jason Butt reports that Hayden Hurst could see more targets in the Falcons' new offense, which is now, you know, the head coach is Arthur Smith, the Titans' offensive coordinator from last year. So if you liked what they did in Tennessee with Jonnu Smith, maybe we get to see some sort of similar output with Hayden Hurst. Now, I know what you're saying. Like, you didn't like what we saw with Hayden Hurst. You weren't high on him to begin with, but with Coach Arthur Smith in there now, and now he's been deemed as one of these guys that could turn an offense around. Is there any interest in Hayden Hurst in best ball where you need to stack a couple of these tight ends?
No, it doesn't move the needle for me. He's still, he's still going to be a
tight end 15, tight end 17.
Yeah, he's going to be a bottom, a TE2, and that's fine. But my problem last year, and I think he actually delivered TE2 numbers this season. My problem last year, and the reason I said what is up is because his ADP was like 8th or 7th or 9th. Yeah, like his ADP was TE1. Who is this guy to be a TE1? I didn't understand it last year, and it was stupid, and it's speculative, and it was correct. But he's fine in the middle, as a TE2. I don't think this blurb changes any kind of needle for me.
No. Right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
No change.
No, James. All right. So Corey Davis, now he is an unrestricted free agent. Obviously the first few years of his career, he was labeled a bust. I always liked Corey Davis. And last year he showed when he played, he came on. Let's say he doesn't go back to the Titans. He finds a new home. Sight unseen, are you investing in his talent? Thinking that he could end up in an optimal situation? Is that a sneaky guy that you can get in the 9th and 10th round that could end up producing like a 4th or 5th rounder for you? Now, you always talk about that's how you win these best balls, by making profits on the double digit rounds. Yeah. We have to identify these guys, because the minute Corey Davis signs with someone that we like, there goes the ADP. Is this someone that you're interested in taking in round 9 through round 11?
Yeah. I mean, where he's going, especially, you can still get Corey Davis, and I'll pull up, his ADP right now, current, according to Underdog Fantasy, is ADP 114. So that is the 10th round.
Well, yeah. So 96. Yeah. It's somewhere around there.
It's right around the 10th round. And I like him over there. It's fine. I do want to warn that I have a suspicion that Corey Davis will go to a team that's looking for a WR1. So he will go to one of these teams that, like, maybe he winds up in Chicago, maybe he winds up in New York, maybe he winds up on any of the New York teams. He's going to go to a team that's looking for a WR1, and I think that team is going to be sorely disappointed. I don't think he's a WR1, is what I'm saying, for a team. Forget about fantasy purposes. Because for fantasy purposes, we don't care if he's an actual WR1. All we care about is a team drafted, picked him up to throw to him as the primary wide receiver. That means targets. That means production. But from a the team that gets him point of view, I don't think he's a WR1. I think he benefits from all the attention that's put on A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry in that offense. If he's the focal point, I think he's going to fail.
Yeah, you said something interesting there. It's Corey Davis really does strike you as the guy that's going to get signed as the primary pass option when he's probably better cast as the number two option.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that happens a lot. I'm trying to think who else that's happened to.
You know recently. What the worst case scenario if you're Corey? Like, can you just see him wind up with Goff on the Lions?
Oh, yeah.
That just seems like where he's going to be. And I'm telling you, I don't know why. That's I think he's going to end up on the Lions. And who the hell, do you really want the wide receiver that's tied to Goff on that team? Like, it's just, you know, distraction, no other good wide receiver. I assume Kenny Galladay is going to be gone. So, you know, it's a two-person team with Davis.
Well, they're also in a lot of credible mocks I've seen, that has the Lions taking Ja'Marr Chase early on. So
that,
if they sign,
we'll see.
Yeah. I'm saying, let's assume that they take a pass catcher, and if it's Chase with that fourth overall pick or whatever they have, and then they sign Corey Davis, then Corey Davis, he'll probably be expected to be the wide receiver one early on, but quickly Ja'Marr Chase will ascend to that role. He's one of those players that we think, and it's not a hot take or anything, could end up being a dominant wide receiver right away. All right. So speaking of rookies and tying that back to our wide receiver best ball mindset right now. Now, we know Trevor Lawrence is going to be the number one overall pick for the Jaguars. How are you handling the wide receivers in your underdog best ball? Are you interested in DJ Chark? Is Laviska Shenault someone? I mean, if you're so high on Trevor Lawrence, don't you have to be high on at least the two primary pass catchers there? Talk me through all that.
I think DJ Chark is actually oversold right now. He's at
overvalued. Right?
Overvalued right now. Yeah. He's at ADP of 62.3 on Underdog Fantasy. So like he's going Panthers ahead of. Round. You ready for this? He's going ahead of Ja'Marr Chase. He's going ahead of Will Fuller, Odell Beckham, Deebo Samuel.
I kind of agree with all those.
Robbie Anderson.
You know, I mean that really one's good. Closer. That one's closer.
I don't know that. I mean, DJ Chark. He's hurt a lot. He has not proven anything. So we have to see with him. Laviska Shenault is not that far behind him, coming at 79.7. Again, Shenault being like a slot guy, had a couple good games last year. Seems like he can grow season two. So, I mean, I think these guys are kind of in the right spot draft-wise, but I'm not confident in it.
If we're adding, you know, what the prospect of the generational prospect, right? Everyone uses that. This is a generational talent. The thing that I was thinking about, and I heard Jordan McNamara say this, he's part of the football guys. He said, are we thinking that Trevor Lawrence is a generational ceiling player or generational floor player? And that got me thinking a little bit. Like, is it not that like we think that Trevor Lawrence is going to be this guy that comes in and just blows every record? He's RG3 plus in year one, and then is Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning? Or is he just like, hey, a Matt Stafford can't miss type of player? So it just got me thinking a little bit there. And
what's the answer? I need to know.
We don't know. You don't know, right? I mean,
is he a runner? I mean, is he a runner?
He's a guy who can run. He's not a runner. He's a guy who can run. Think of more like how Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, they can run. They're not runners.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Mahomes is that way too, so it's hard to...
Put it this way. In a two-year window, let's talk dynasty for a second, but it's also related to best ball. In a two-year window, who would you take in a straight-up bet is going to be a better fantasy producer this year and next year, Matt Stafford or Trevor Lawrence? It's a good question, right? It's a good question.
I can't speak to it. It's hard. You don't know what you're going to get out
of
Trevor Lawrence right now, right. Just don't know what you're going to get. But I'd actually bring it around to the Matt Stafford and some of the most undervalued players in the via ADP are those pass catchers for the Rams.
So I want to talk that, but just tell me quickly, are you interested in the Jacksonville wide receivers or not?
Yeah,
in best ball?
They're going in the right spot. I mean, you know, DJ Chark is going ahead of Deebo Samuel and Will Fuller. That's not okay to me. So I'm a little bit lower in terms of where I would take these guys, maybe than ADP right now, but I don't hate it. You know, I don't have any problem people tying themselves in. By the way, when a young quarterback comes in, we saw this with the Bengals, and is good. Those wide receivers produce because what you end up happening is you also get a lot of turnovers and you get just a lot of scoring in these games. So we saw what happened with the Bengals and Joe Burrow. Like, hey, it's a rookie, but holy shit. All T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, when Joe Burrow was there, were doing great. I mean, it didn't matter. The guy was throwing 40, 50 passes a game. And I think we might see that with the Jaguars. They don't have a good defense. So they're going to be scoring a lot. And scoring begets scoring from the opposing team. The Jaguars might be that team next season where you want to target both sides of that game every week. Like, if Trevor produces, I think you'll see some super high scoring games like we did with Dallas this year at the beginning, where it was just like, hey, I want Dallas and I want whoever's playing Dallas this week because those games are just going that way. That could happen with the Jaguars. And if it does, you'll just get a lot of fantasy production out of all these guys.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. So you were about to pivot over to the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, those guys already got inflated. I mean, you have to be interested in Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. And I think the interesting question is, like, why is Tyler Higbee still undervalued? Gerald Everett, the tight end, is an unrestricted free agent. So where are we this year going to be on Tyler Higbee?
I almost want to shush people about Tyler Higbee. Tyler Higbee is one of the best values in the entire draft this year. Because we saw what Higbee did. First of all, we've seen that Stafford is very good with the tight end. He can create quality tight end outcomes. But more so, we saw when Tyler Higbee didn't have Gerald Everett in there, spoiling the party, he was incredibly productive. There, the tight end position is where so many values are. It's crazy. That is a spot where you can really, really actually make some movement this year. But at the wide receiver side, I love Cooper Kupp. I absolutely adore Robert Woods at their current ADP. Woods, ADP of 45. He's going in that range with T. Higgins, Kenny Galladay, and Chris Godwin. Give me Woods over Godwin this year easily. But the better value is Cooper Kupp, who you can get a round and a half later at 57. Just in that, you know, all right, I'll give you the decision point. You're DJ Shark, Tyler Lockett, Cooper Kupp. Who are you taking? I'm taking Kupp over those two. Your mic is off, but
sorry about that. I was, because I sneezed before. I would say Cooper Kupp. Like, Cooper Kupp, no doubt. Like, not even a question, Cooper Kupp, right?
Cooper Kupp is going to smash this year. He's just the perfect wide receiver for Stafford. It's going to be really, really good with him. So I like that. And actually, interestingly, I think the number three wide receiver for that team is going to be an interesting battle. Van Jefferson is coming on late towards the end of the season. You've still got Josh Reynolds over there. And you've got Robert Woods, who's old. So I don't know if there's any sort of free agency movement. Is Robert Woods still signed for multiple years?
One more year. One more year.
So it's going to be really...
Cooper Kupp is two more years, guaranteed.
Yeah, I wonder if Josh Reynolds, for example, is still signed over there. Is he a free agent?
I think he's going to look for another team, but he's a restricted free agent, if I'm thinking about it correctly. The player that I see keep creeping up and is becoming an early season best ball buzzy player is Van Jefferson.
Yeah, but I mean, if Reynolds sticks around, Jefferson is not
right.
Somebody who's going to excite me too much. I don't want, like, even if he gets like a 60-40 split with Josh Brown, it's not good enough, but Van Jefferson can emerge also with an injury. So he's a player to keep an eye on, but Reynolds is gone.
Why don't we keep these episodes tight? Why don't we each go through your rankings list there? Give me somebody. This is how I want you to answer in three questions. I want you to answer, who's the wide receiver that you're most interested in those first couple rounds? Not only just like, oh yeah, Davante Adams. I mean, like, who's the one that you're looking to grab? Is it one of the second year guys? Is it one of the, you know, AJ Brown types? Like, who's the early wide receiver? So that's question one, that you're going to be looking to grab, even passing on running back or one of the elite tight ends. Question two is, if you do decide to go robust running back strategy early, who's that wide receiver that you're looking to grab in the middle rounds to that you feel can be a top wide receiver? And the third question, you know what that third question is, who's the late round wide receiver? Who's that T. Higgins that you're going to grab early on? So bring me through those three. I'll give you those three, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, I'll take you through it. So number one, I in best ball, I rarely, almost never, I rarely take an early wide receiver because of how important it is to have kind of a studly running back. So I'm not going to get super excited about that early pick. If I had to try to get one and I'm on the turn, it's round two, pick one, and Stephon Diggs is sitting there staring me in the face. That's the team I want exposure to. And Stephon Diggs is such a focal point. So if I'm at the turn and I'm picking 12, 13, and I get a reasonable running back with that first pick, and then I'm like, all right, should I just grab another running back? I might take a stab at Stephon Diggs early. So that's a guy that I'm super interested in very early. Now, middling, one of my favorite guys to target. What I'm looking for are changing situations, right? And one of my predictions currently is that Terry McLaurin with the Washington football squad, okay, will have a good quarterback this year. And I am excited to see what Terry McLizzles can do with an actual NFL National Football League starting quarterback throwing the football to him. Give me Terry McLaurin. He's going two picks after Julio Jones. What? Hold on. I'm going to do that again. What? Julio Jones going first? Wait, CeeDee Lamb is going ahead of Terry McLaurin. What? What are you, crazy? What? So give me Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, Terry McLaurin's been good because he has that Allen Robinson thing where he's been producing even with like bad quarterback play, right?
Hell yeah. Now, when we go, so I love Terry McLaurin. He's a guy that I'm trying to get in every single league this season across the board. Okay. Yeah, that's a guy he's in love with.
All right. So early on, I like the Diggs play. If he falls to that early part of the second round too, he's going to be hard to pass on. In the middle rounds, if you've gone robust running back, I think you hit it on the head again. Terry McLaurin could be that top 12 wide receiver, and you absolutely can get him in the fourth round.
Now I'm going to give you a late round name, and there's so many of them. I'm going to give you a late round. We should really do more of these late rounds because they're much more important. But one of the late round names, again, I'm sticking with my theme of new quarterback comes in, talented player that seemed to not produce that well, takes a next level step up. That's Darnell Mooney, wide receiver, Chicago Bears. And I'm going to tell you, this kid looked great last year. No quarterback, but clearly ahead of Miller. Clearly, Allen Robinson may not be there. Darnell Mooney, yeah, with a new quarterback. Somebody new's coming in.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with the Mooney play. I've seen him actually, people get aggressive on him and take him in like the 10th or 11th round. But yeah, I think
that's where he's going. His ADP is 127. Yeah. So he's a guy you got to take in the 10th round.
Right. But I think it's actually good for him if Allen Robinson's there, since he's more of a speed guy. He plays a different position.
Well, I think they're going to bring in another number one. It's just going to be like Corey Davis. I'm telling you, they're going to bring a guy in
Allen Robinson, I was reading about Allen Robinson from some credible sources that cover the Bears, and they say that there's almost no chance that Allen Robinson is not on that team next year. They're willing to do the franchise tag. And I think I explained this to you earlier. I'm not sure that the franchise tag in a down year is actually cheaper than what it would cost them to do a per year. So normally in a franchise tag year, it would be about $18 million to keep Allen Robinson. That's about what it would cost to keep him on a multi-year contract. Since the down cap this year, he is going to be a $16 million franchise tag player. Yeah. You don't want him unhappy, so the chances are they'll sign him for long term. But if they have to, they will franchise tag him for one more year.
Just as good. I'm perfectly happy. Again, I think the issue with Mooney, he was perfect in the role that they had him in. The issue was they didn't have a quarterback on the team that could deliver the football to him. So I think that they're going to get someone. I fully believe that the Bears are one of those teams that will get one of these guys. They're actively trying to get one of the group of quarterbacks that are moving around. I think it's going to be probably a veteran player that they get. I don't think it's going to be like, hey, we're just going to draft someone. I think it's good. They're going to get a vet that's better than what they've had. And when they do that, Darnell Mooney really could shine. He looked the part. He's got size. He's got speed. He's got what you want in an NFL wide receiver. So really great stuff.
Yeah, no, all good calls right there. I like those a lot. I'll take you through mine pretty quickly. It's going to be hard to beat that Stephon Diggs play because I really do like that pick there. But it's a little chalky, but I really think that AJ Brown is well, everything we've seen. So if you're going to take a wide receiver in that first 15 picks, that would be the guy I would get. Obviously, if any of the top three or four guys fall there, you're taking them. Not too interesting there. Someone AJ in Brown the middle
get at the beginning of round 3/ the last pick of round 2.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. I haven't seen it yet, but it's certainly possible. The player, I think, in the middle rounds that's being forgotten about, you and I, you didn't like him as much last year, but I'm still going to be looking at drafting Cortland Sutton in like the 7th round. I know that's not your favorite. I still think he's a dominant number one wide receiver. You're getting him in the 7th round where he would have cost you a 4th last year. But the question that I actually asked you was, who's that guy that's going in round 3 and 4 and mostly in round 4 that is a wide receiver 1? And that's Amari Cooper. For some reason, he's going on the 4-5 turn. I still think he's a top 10 wide receiver, age 27, still right in his peak prime years. There's CeeDee Lamb is going ahead.
Yeah. I mean, let me just comment. Totally agree. Okay, why is Amari Cooper going as far down? I mean, you know what?
CeeDee Lamb's going ahead of him in these early drafts.
Yeah, I'm looking at the ADP and it's really close. Like, you know, currently the ADP does have, you know, that ADP adjusts a little bit as you go along. But yeah, it's crazy actually to me that Cooper drops this low. I mean, Calvin Ridley ahead of him, Justin Jefferson, Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen.
I can understand the Calvin Ridley
thing. Kind of okay. I'd probably take, you know, Allen Robinson's ahead of him. I'd probably take Cooper ahead of.
Well, I'm just saying, like, he's that guy that you can get in the 4th round if you go robust running back. And that was really the question. If you go running back, get Cooper in the 4th, you still got a wide receiver 1. That was really the question.
Yeah, I want anything tied to that Dallas offense, by the way. Yeah. I think the best value, though, is probably Michael Gallup, who you can get in, like, round 10.
Yep. And then, yeah, totally. I like that, too. And then the sleeper guy, I already gave it away earlier in the podcast, but I'm interested in Paris Campbell in the 14th round. I told you I would take him a little bit higher, especially the Wentz news should drive him up. I love him as a player. And just because he got hurt a couple years in a row, I mean, that's obviously concerning, but that's why you're getting him in the 14th and not the 7th round. So that's a player that I'm going to add to almost all of my drafts. And if he's not going to be the reason, if he's the reason I lose, so be it. But at the cost at 14th round, it's going to be hard to get anything but a profit on him if he stays healthy. All right, Geek, I think we did it, man. I think that covers the wide receivers for Underdog Fantasy. We come back next week. We could talk some tight ends and quarterbacks in the same podcast.
Yeah, I love the tight end position this season. It seems very, very off. A lot of values there that we could take a look at. So I'm excited to talk more about
strategy. Tight end is about strategy because, and again, I don't want to get into it now, but it's like, do you go early or do you wait? You know, I mean, it's like the argument we used to have about quarterback, but we'll get into it next week. It's a little teaser there.
Absolutely. So that'll do it for this one, the Bowl Call Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by DFS Army and, of course, sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. Remember to sign up at Underdog Fantasy using promo code DFS Army. You could do early best ball leagues. You could do daily NBA snake drafts or PGA. They've got them all. They've got all the sports. They've got a pick 'em game that's really great as well. Go check them out. Promo code DFS Army gets you $100 guarantee. Enjoy the game or get your money back. And, of course, get signed up at dfsarmy.com. We are crushing all sports right now as a VIP subscriber. NASCAR, oh my goodness, started out with a bang last weekend. I smashed me some NASCAR trucks. That's right. The kid from Brooklyn playing freaking NASCAR. Not even regular NASCAR. NASCAR with pickup truck. Like, you're borderline. they block it on TV over here. Like, no. Northerners don't watch a bunch of pickup truck driving Southerners, you know, smashing into each other.
You were about to say hillbillies, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, they block it on TV over here. I had to fucking had an APN what is that thing?
VPN.
That's how much I know. I had to have put on a VPN. They're like, oh, New York, we don't show you that. Just to watch the trucks race. I'm taking down trucks. I'm taking down Xfinity races with drivers that have three names. It's usually Bob. It's like Billy Bob. Billy Ray Bob. Yeah, Jim. Billy Ray Bob.
Billy Jim Bob.
And they're, you know, we're winning contests. You got NASCAR going. You got MMA. Amazing slate this weekend. Every sport covered. NBA season has been bananas. By the way, NBA, if you're playing NBA DFS and you don't have DFS Army Tools, let me explain to you just like two nights ago what happens. Okay? You're trying to make your lineups and just like do your thing, right? But there's so much stuff that happens after lock. If you don't, our Slack, we have the we have a news and notes channel for NBA people. And what's going on in there is we're monitoring every piece of news in real time. So even just yesterday, for example, we thought that the 76ers were going to basically had a bunch of players out, right? And you think it's going to be Tyrese Maxey start. I'm trying to remember the names, but all of a sudden it's like this other guy, you know, that's not as good. So basically values are changing constantly as you're watching these games, as news is coming out.
Yeah, and you've got, if you don't have like help, if you're just like going into NBA with all the changes this year, I'm usually pretty good in my season long leagues. I am failing miserably because I'm not keeping up on it. The only time I do well in my season long leagues is when I check that news and notes section in the Slack. So
you've got to have
I'll vouch for this personally.
All of a sudden this player's out. This other one's a starter. Last night, you know, Frank Composite, like I can't remember all the names because I don't focus too heavily on the NBA content side at all. I just play it like everybody else. But if you're not in these channels getting updates, like a couple nights ago, it was Hassan Whiteside going to start. Hassan Whiteside wound up scoring 58 points, and we had it ahead of time. Like, hey, watch for this other player. If he's not, I think it was DeAndre Ayton. I can't remember the names. But it's like, if this guy's out, Whiteside's going to start. That's going to be
Rashawn Holmes or something was out.
Yeah, right? Rashawn Holmes, whatever it is. So you've got to have these news alerts if you're going to play NBA DFS. So the news and notes channel and having a live person advising and breaking it down is so critical. So get into DFS Army if you're going to play DFS at all.
Use promo code SEZ.
Use promo code SEZ. SEZ. It gets you 10% off. You want to do monthly VIP that gets you in the chat. It's really, really reasonable. We have our optimizer. We have our simulators. We have our projections. Every sport has 6 to 10 different premium tools that you can use, and we cover all sports. So check it out. And of course, like and subscribe if you enjoy this video and you want to see more like this. Let us know that you're watching. Let us know that you like fantasy football year-round, because quite honestly, you know, Keg was busting my balls the other day. He's like, hey, nobody does fantasy football year-round. I'm like, yes, they do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like saying the guys who say that the Bitcoin is, it's like tulips.
Yeah, no, it's not like
that's what that sounds like.
Yeah,
Keg's a brilliant NBA DFS guy, brilliant. But to say people don't do it year round, he is. It sounds silly, but I understand that. I understand that.
By the way, this for me keeps my mind sharp for when the real season comes around, and I remember the player names, and they're a backup now, or they're getting a start. So it's super critical for me, for my NFL season to have this sort of year-round focus on the draft and on players coming in and on, you know, WR4s and 5s that might elevate, because as the season comes around, you remember those names and they get a start and you're like, ooh, this guy's actually pretty good. So check that out as well.
The fantasy football, like Facebook groups I brought, they're never more active than they are right now.
Yeah, and especially the free agency and how critical it is.
Stuff, yeah.
Understanding with all these quarterback moves, I think the key to this upcoming season is really understanding how teams are going to change. And again, the Darnell Mooney call, the call for some of those wide receivers, for the downgrades for the Goff wide receivers, the upgrades for the Stafford wide receivers, all of this stuff is going to be really critical. So stick with us. We'll be here all season long, breaking these things down, checking out, you know, we're going to start to get into NFL draft season really, really soon. We're going to really start to dive into rookies and mock drafts, and we're going to get into some of that as well. So, you know, stick with the Bowl Call Pod. We've got you covered all season long. Again,
got the best coaches in the game. We really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't no lie.